Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Hugh Wise, number 1114. You've heard a lot about A, B, and C. Now it's time for D. And there aren't A, B, and C to worry about. D1, actually. And I'm going to be...
Now we have a run-on sentence to worry about.
That's true. I'm going to be brief in my initial comments. And I will refer to the statute as D1. This statute, which I'm obviously not going to read, it would take too long and would confuse, perhaps. This statute must be construed according to the rules of grammar. And this is a mouthful, disjunctive conjunction or is dispositive of this case. Because the little word or separates the four types of thoroughfares that are considered in the governmental immunity statute. And the Bloomer Court conveniently numbered those four types of thoroughfares for us. And that enumeration has survived the overruling of Bloomer by the Bertrand case, but it survived in the Click, Lock, and Wark cases. And it was also mentioned in the Holiday Vsop case. Or is important, it separates categories, and that is what is determinative of the fact that the parking thereon only refers to the fourth category of the thoroughfares. And that is the only way you can read the statute according to the rules of grammar.
Well, would you agree with me that we're also not to interpret a statute that might lead to an illogical result?
Absolutely.
And we want to discern the legislative intent as much as we can.
Absolutely.
So how many state highways have sidewalks?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, obviously.
Very many?
I assume there's some. I know. I'm not an expert on highways. And sidewalks along highways. But what I think we're looking at is when you have a statute that's clear on its face, and this is very well brought out by former Chief Justice Davidson in the Johnson case, you interpret the words of the statute and you don't get into considerations of intent and what the legislature may or may not have meant. The words are right there. And in this situation, it just seems crystal clear. You've got four different types of thoroughfares. Now, if a reason were to be provided, it comes to my mind that when you're dealing with a municipality that is building roadways, you have an area where obviously the vehicles go, and then you have these angled parking spaces. You should not have to build the angled parking spaces to the same specifications or maintain them to the same degree that you would for a sidewalk, because there's basically an essential difference between what will affect a moving vehicle traveling on a highway and what might trip an individual in the parking area, the angled parking area, alongside where the traffic goes. So there are reasons that may be there, but I don't think we get there. I think we are stuck with the words of the statute. Unless there's anything else.
Well, the word sidewalk has a distinct meaning.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, there
and,
and sidewalk is not
port,
in
let,
I'm sorry, excuse
didn't
me.
Interrupt you. Let me read it. It's a portion of a street between the curb lines or lateral lines of a roadway and the adjacent property lines intended for the use of pedestrians. That doesn't say anything about a highway. Trying to capture all the meanings of these terms here.
All right, but the sidewalk is related to the municipality. And there is a waiver of immunity for a sidewalk in the municipality. But I'm not following the court's train of thought as to why that's relevant to these parking spaces.
I'm trying to figure out whether or not such highway, road, street, or sidewalk, which was designed and intended for parking thereon, what it refers to.
I understand your point now. I don't think there's a logical answer to that. I think that
you don't think I didn't hear what you said.
I don't think there's a logical response to that. I think that the fact that the sidewalk is included that obviously that sidewalk does refer to highway sidewalks, and I think if we I don't think you can reconcile the fact that the sidewalk is mentioned there along with the fact we're dealing with where parking takes place. I don't think the statute clarifies that for us.
Is the statute ambiguous?
Not with regard to the parking thereon part. I think there's only one way you can read that, because of or. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
You have just under 7 minutes.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Dennis Walters, attorney registration number 21424. I represent the appellees, Mr. and Mrs. McKinley. Seems like the big issue here before the court today is this phraseology, end of the sentence. We're talking about 2410-106-1D1 and friends, dangerous condition waiver. And in particular to municipalities, that waiver provision applies to any paved street. And it applies here because the appellee fell on a paved portion of the municipal street in Glenwood Springs and was injured. Of significance as well in this issue is, I think, the guiding principle that's been set forth in various cases by the Colorado Supreme Court, that we need to broadly interpret the waiver provisions under the Governmental Immunity Act for the benefit of victims. And that's found in the Corsentino case, Springs case, the Daniels case as well, which has been cited. The Daniels case on page 897 even indicated that in their decision that this principle was a command for the courts in determining waiver provisions. The main argument put forth here by the appellant today is basically that only part of the street for the city exists a waiver of immunity, and there's some other part of the street that doesn't. Well, if you look just under the municipal portion of that statute, it applies to any street. It doesn't cut it up. It doesn't say that. It says applies to any street. And I think you have to give that a broad definition and interpretation. Additionally, when you look just at the end of this sentence, the end of this sentence is actually referring to such highways, roads, streets, or sidewalks. And that is really not referring to the public entity in particular. It's referring to the various thoroughfares that this sentence that we're talking about has previously defined for the different entities. And so I think the appellant really has taken this out of context, is not looking at the entire sentence. And when you look at the sentence structure itself, the way each entity has the different thoroughfares defined, the thoroughfares are defined before it identifies the public entity. So for instance, for the municipality, we have the public highway, road, street, or sidewalk in the municipality. And then it talks about the federal interstate system. It says highways in the federal interstate highway system or federal primary system. And then it talks about highways in the federal secondary system. And then it gets to the state highway system and it says highways in the state highway system, period. That's it. It defines for each public entity, it defines the group of thoroughfares for those public entities beforehand. And that's how that sentence is structured. And if you look at the Ward case, which is interesting, that's been cited by the appellant, on page 714 of the Ward case, they go through the Bloomer entity analysis. And they highlight it that same way. They basically say that they go through, that it covers, this waiver provision covers roads for the municipality. It covers highways in the federal interstate and primary system. It covers highways in the federal secondary system, and it covers highways in the state highway system, period. It doesn't go on and say that this end of the sentence that's talking about on such highway, road, street, or sidewalk that was designed for public travel or parking or on has anything to do with any of these public entities, because those are really referring back to the different types of thoroughfares that have been defined in the statute, in that sentence, for all the various types of public entities.
So in your view, that last part of the statute, it would apply to each of the entities as they might have a sidewalk or a road or whatever defined in the entities?
Well, I don't think it applies to any entity necessarily. I think it's just describing the different thoroughfares that it's referred to in that sentence for all the different types of entities. And if you look at, for municipalities, it describes the different thoroughfares as public highways, roads, streets, or sidewalks.
Right.
And then for the different highway systems, it really just refers to those types of thoroughfares as all highways.
Right, so, but after deciding which entities have which kind of thoroughfares, then it makes clear that of those, that yes, the portion that would be covered would be for parking or public travel, right?
Correct.
And so the parking or public travel might apply to any of the four, depending on what kind of thoroughfare would go with each entity.
Yes, I think I understand what you're saying. So if you had a state highway,
right,
and there was parking on the state highway, I think you're right, that would cover that. And for our circumstance here, if there was a public street, a paved street in the city, and somebody was parking on it, it would cover that too, because that's one of the thoroughfares that it even mentions.
So it would cover all four that are identified in that last phrase of this sentence?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, and I think probably technically it would, because actually it specifically states all the different thoroughfares that are mentioned for all the different entities in this statute. So I think that would be yes. In regards to the Bloomer case too, that the appellant cites, I think his analysis of that is misplaced, because what the Bloomer case really is, the essence of that, it's talking about whether or not a county entity is actually a public entity where waiver exists under this statute. And that's not the situation here. Here we have a municipality, which obviously is. And the Bloomer case does not go on to describe anything about the end of the sentence as being relating to the highway system. It doesn't say that. It just says that in this case, the county road systems are not included in this waiver statute 106.1D that we're talking about. I know that I think there's other arguments too. I know that I don't know if it's going to be brought up on rebuttal, but you know, there were some other arguments in the briefs about whether or not a pedestrian would be included as traffic. And I think here the statute itself is clear on that. Because it refers to, in regards to municipalities, it includes a waiver for sidewalks, which logically is going to include pedestrian traffic. And I cited that Stanley case because it actually talked about this statute, and it talked about the various terms in this statute and how there are other provisions in the statutes which actually define some of these terms, and one of them was traffic, and it cited 42.1.102 and in parens 104, to indicate that traffic actually includes pedestrian and vehicular traffic in its definition. And then I think finally, when you look at the guiding principle that we must broadly interpret the provisions of these waiver of immunity statutes, that also buttresses the position that pedestrians are included in this waiver provision. Under the circumstances, we would ask that that the court would find that the district court's ruling should be upheld, and in light of the statute itself, the way it's worded, the sentence structure, the fact that it pertains to any street in a municipality, and not narrowly construe the statute as I think the city wants the court to do, but rather interpret it broadly. As we are supposed to regarding these waiver provisions, and we would ask the court to uphold the district court ruling.
Do you think this statute is ambiguous?
Not, you know, not on our issue, no. Have any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Bloomer, of course, is distinguishable on the fact that it was dealing with whether county roads are included or not, but it's very much on point in its treatment of the disjunctive conjunction, or it that is the reason that it is cited in cases even outside the governmental immunity arena, such as the BSOP case, the Holiday v. BSOP case. So far as definition of traffic, that is a definition that does not apply according to the terms of the statute to this statute, the D1 that we're looking at, that relates to traffic violations by either pedestrians or vehicles. It really doesn't have anything to do with this. I do want to return for a moment to what Judge Furman mentioned, when we're talking about, obviously, the last portion of the sentence, on that part, portion of such highway, road, street, or sidewalk, which was designed or intended for public travel or parking thereon, if you were to say that this, that applies to the federal system and the federal secondary roads, it again doesn't seem to make any sense. If you look at sidewalks on the federal system, and on the federal secondary system, they're probably roads, streets, or sidewalks. I don't think you find those in the federal system. And I think what the legislature may have been saying was, we are willing to assume the burden of taking care of pedestrians that are in the parking area of our streets, but we're not requiring the municipality or the feds to design or maintain to those same specifications. We're only requiring that of us, the highway department, because we don't want to impose that sort of burden on others, especially municipalities, which obviously don't have the resources that the state highway system has. So I don't think you can say that there's any logic to applying that portion, that phrase that we're talking about, to the federal system or to the municipal system, when the statute just very clearly states, by use of the ORs, that it is related to the state highway system. I don't really have any more words of wisdom or lack of wisdom to give you, but I'm sure ready to respond to questions you may have. Thank you for your attention. Now you have D to worry about.
Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The case will stand submitted and a written opinion will issue in due course. That concludes our arguments for today. The court will stand in recess.